So far, what we've noticed in these passages are the Beatitudes of the Kingdom, Matthew 5, the defilements of the heart, Mark chapter 7, Paul's list of qualities of love, 1 Corinthians 13, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, and then that's followed by the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 as well. And then Paul spoke about the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. What we want to notice next in this series of lessons is the apparel of Christ from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. As we've done in the past, we're going to notice the context first. Christians have been raised with Christ. In verse 1, Paul writes, "If then you are raised with Christ," in verse 1 of Colossians 3. Notice he says, "if." Here is the condition of the class first. It's assumed as true according to Robertson's word pictures. We are raised with Christ in baptism, Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. And being raised with Christ offers new opportunities. The second thing in our context is Christians are to seek things above. That's where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, according to our text in Colossians 3 and verse 1. Setting our minds on things above, that's not on earthly things, according to chapter 3 and verse 2. "For in Christ we died," he says. That's another allusion to baptism, verse 3 of Colossians 3, as well as Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Our life is now in Christ, hidden to the world, but one day will be made evident to everyone, Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4. He's having reference here to being raised with Christ, and that should lead us to a new mindset. And the new mindset is that Christians are to put off the old man. When we make the decision to be baptized according to the New Testament baptism and put on Christ, we can no longer live by the way that we used to live. He talks about in verse 5 that we put to death fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. And he talks in verse 6 that for God's wrath will come on those who practice such things. So here it clearly tells us that we cannot be pleasing to God and claim to be a Christian and try to live according to the world. He said we once walked in such things, but now are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and lying, verses 7 through 9 of chapter 3. And if you reflect back, such sins were examined when we discussed the defilements of the heart as well as the works of the flesh. So being raised with Christ should lead us to a new lifestyle. And a fourth point there in our context is that Christians are to put on the new man. We are renewed in knowledge according to the image of God who created us, Colossians 3 and verse 10. In verse 11, he says that we're no longer Greek nor Jew or any such thing as that, but we are like Christ. Therefore, being raised with Christ, we should lead a life like Christ. Now, what this Christ-likeness involves is seen as we go on and consider the apparel of Christ that Paul mentions in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. That is, those things that we should put on. In other words, the Greek has reference here to cloth, clothing. As God's elect people, holy and beloved, what is the apparel that the Christian should wear? And I don't think it's having reference to the physical clothing necessarily, but it's talking about the spiritual clothing. So when we consider the meaning of this context, I think the necessary apparel that it talks about is, like the King James would talk about, tender mercies. That's bowels of mercy. The Greek has reference there to the same thing. The first word in the Greek language literally means bowels, for the bowels were regarded by the Hebrews as the seat of the tender affections, especially kindness, benevolence, compassion. The second Greek word describes compassion, pity, mercy. So we are to have bowels in compassion, in which compassion resides, or as we might say today, a heart of compassion. A second thing here in this necessary apparel is kindness. And we go back to the Greek, and it means or has reference to gentleness, kindness. A third point is humility. King James references this as humbleness of mind. The Greek has a reference to it being a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's moral littleness, modesty, humility, lowliness of mind. A fourth point is meekness. The Greek has reference to gentleness, mildness, meekness. A fifth point is long suffering. The Greek has reference to the Greek language that is has reference to it being meaning patience, forbearance, long suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. Well, we could use that in our society. A fifth point in this apparel is bearing with one another. The King James says forbearing with one another, and the Greek has reference to sustain, to bear, to endure. The next one is forgiving one another, and the Greek has reference to it meaning to do something pleasant or agreeable to one, to do a favor to, gratify, to grant forgiveness, to pardon. And we must forgive just as the Lord was willing to forgive us. An eighth point in this apparel is that we must love. Love is the bond of perfection, according to the King James Version. The Greek word is agape here, and it's an active goodwill, benevolence. The New International Version points out that it's that which binds them all together in perfect unity. It is the perfect tie that binds the other virtues together, like a belt might bind pieces of clothing together. Without love, the other virtues cannot and will not last. But with love, they can be easily maintained. And such is the spiritual apparel that we are to adorn ourselves, our lives with in Christ. But there's some necessary accessories that go along with this apparel. We go back to our text in Colossians 3 and verse 5, and he mentions the peace of God. We are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. He mentions in Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 16, that in Christ, who is our peace, he has made us one body, and that is what we need to be thankful for. A second necessary accessory is the word of Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 12, we're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. He goes on in that verse and says we do so by teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we do this as we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And then in verse 17, he says another necessary accessory is the authority of Christ. He says we are to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a difference in doing it in his name and doing it by his authority. You see, Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, that there would be many that would come to him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we've done in your name. And he tells them to depart from him that he never knew them. So we need to be careful that just because we put the name of Jesus on it does not mean that he has given us authority to do it. And this authority needs to be done with an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks to God. So these accessories are going to reinforce the spiritual apparel that we put on. And when we are properly adorned with the apparel of Christ, then we will live up to our calling as God's elect. As God's elect people, holy and beloved, according to chapter 3 and verse 12. Now as we close out in the last few minutes that we have here, let's make application. When we make the application to this apparel of Christ, the adornment begins with being raised with Christ. The premise here in this passage is that we have been raised with Christ, according to Colossians 3 and verse 1. As we noted earlier, That involves baptism, according to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And it's in baptism that we put on Christ, in principle, according to Galatians 3 and verse 27. You see, it's only then that we can really put on the new man in practice, that is, of living the life that Christ would have us to live. Adornment begins with following Christ, obeying Christ simply and from the heart and faithfully. And it begins by putting him on in baptism. But adornment also requires a new mindset. As he's pointed out in Colossians 3 and verse 1 and verse 2, it's seeking those things that are above. Our spirituality, our heart, our spiritual life, our Christian life ought to be focused on heaven. A mind set on things above, not on things on the earth. And we need to be pressing forward, as Paul would say in other passages, toward that mark, toward that goal of heaven. And we can't do that if we're still living a worldly life. Paul would write in other places that it is a mind set on things virtuous and praiseworthy, Philippians 4 and verse 8. It is a mind set on things of the Spirit and not of the flesh, Romans 8 verses 5 through 8. You see, it's only then that we can really put off the old man and put on the new. And a third point here is adornment requires a concentrated effort. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come without effort. We have to cast off the old man with its works of darkness, Romans chapter 13. And we have to make the effort to put on the new man, to be like Christ, Romans 13 verse 14. And Paul would write in other places that we must work out our salvation, Philippians 2. So we have what God's aid is, and that's the Word of God. But without diligence on our part, a diligent effort, we're going to fail. So what a wonderful opportunity God has given us to be raised with Christ, forgiven of all sin, to put aside the old man with its sinful corruption, to put on the new man created in the image of Christ. But it is an opportunity only for those who will put forth the effort, dying with Christ in baptism, setting our minds on things above, putting off our sinful conduct, adorning, that is, the apparel of Christ. Many passages like this passage, Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, motivate us to take advantage of God's given opportunity to be faithful children. Now, it may be that you don't agree with this lesson, and that's quite all right. If you would like to discuss it with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go to the church's website, that's church@eastside.com, and listen to this lesson again. If you do agree with this lesson and you would like to speak with me, again, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, and I would be glad to assist you in any discussion that you might have or want to have about our lesson or any other lessons. Again, I want to thank you for being with me today.